Welcome back. This is Talking About the Law. I'm Bob Flynn. Frank Riccio is with me today. We're co-hosting the show and discussing dental malpractice. And Frank, just before the break, we were talking about a typical iconic initial client conference where you have somebody who's had one of these problems attributable to a dentist in their minds come in and visit with you. And you told us, I think before the break, you talk about what happened, you take a history, ultimately get records and eyeball the situation. I suppose you have a discussion with them too about what the purposes and goals of a dental malpractice case are, what it can do for you and can't do for you.
Absolutely. And basically, I mean, all of these, of course, are based upon compensation. You know, many of the dental cases are a little bit more specific in terms of compensation, because what we're able to do is actually ascertain what a patient is paying out of pocket to correct something that was done wrong. And the thing is just so it's understandable, the patient doesn't collect twice. In other words, they've paid initially. They may have paid for their $20,000 for their case, for their prosthetic or cosmetic case, and now they're going to have to pay another, say, $35,000 or $40,000. So you're talking about a significant amount of money that's out of pocket, because most of that is not covered, or very little is covered by insurance. So that's a significant financial hit for any type of patient. And that doesn't even include pain and suffering and time that has to be spent redoing the work. And as everybody knows with anything, whether you're a carpenter or whether you're a dentist or a surgeon or anything, the redo is usually more complicated and more difficult, because you've got to work with what was done wrong initially, correct that, and then bring everything back to snuff. So basically, that's how that works. So it's a compensatory scheme, but it's the only way a patient really has of asserting rights to get their work taken care of.
What people don't realize too is clients coming in don't realize that either, that the lawyer gets paid out of the result. That's not something extra. So no matter what the recovery, that client is not likely to be made whole. It's not quite like, it depends. There are nuances to it. But.
Yeah, the goal is to make the patient whole. So basically, in terms of settlement discussion or anything else, the goal is to not only get them the money to take care of their work, but additional money in their own pockets for the pain and suffering, being enough to actually cover the fees as well. The one thing that at least clients have that are an advantage in my office is, because I'm a dentist, I can usually screen the case pretty quickly and cheaply for them without having to at least initially engage the services of a dentist expert. So if I see the case and it doesn't pass my smell test, it's never going to get beyond that. And sometimes what I am able to do is use my own expertise to actually try to engage an insurance company into settlement discussions, in the hope that they'll accept what I have to say. And I'll even actually tell them, this is what I have to say on it. Have your experts look and verify it. And, you know, we've been able to get good results for our clients that way as well.
No, that is right. Many times people come in, and quite correctly so, given the fact that they're in pain and they've been harmed, and they know in the back of their minds they have more procedures to go, but they're angry. They're very angry, sometimes irrationally angry. They want kind of a get-even thing. I don't see it that often, but it happens every now and then. But you tell them, I presume, that the purpose of one of these cases is to obtain compensation, full and fair, not to get even.
Absolutely. And my job isn't to get even. In fact, ethically, I'm required not to get even. That isn't the point. The whole point is really to make it a more rational type of situation where everybody understands the limitations of what we can achieve, what we can't achieve, and that type of thing. But it really comes down to it, after the anger dissipates and the frustration, is that almost all of my clients understand ultimately what the goal is, and that is compensation and to try to make them whole. And that is the purpose of torts. It's not contracts, where the contract would be the $20,000 you paid initially. The tort damages allow you to get what is known as compensation to cover what has to be done as a result of the damage caused by the initial tort.
Right. That is right. I presume, too, in that first conference, if not then, maybe not then, the next time you meet, your update client conference, you discuss, going forward, what the process is. You've had a review by an outside dental expert who says, yeah, this was error. The damages are worthy of being pursued value-wise in a court. So what's the process about suit and what goes on?
Well, at that point, basically, you now have a full-blown medical malpractice case that's subject to all the laws and statutes relating to medical malpractice. What does that mean? Number one, we have to comply with the new health care law, which essentially means that we have to notify the potential defendant in the case to let either he or she know that we are bringing a claim, that these are our theories of the case as far as liability, these are our damages, and you pass it on to your insurer, who then at that point has about a six-month period to respond. Mm-hmm. Either, you know, yes, we'll try to settle it, or no, or they could ignore it as well. If they choose to ignore it or they say no, then the next step is really to put the case into suit and go through the legal process. And that involves going before a tribunal to screen out any type of potentially frivolous claim. And then after that, we do discovery, which involves basically depositions, testimony under oath, and then ultimately, if we have to, we go to trial. All of those steps are steps that go on that could potentially either impact the case negatively or positively.
The tribunal raises an issue in the back of my mind. There is an urban myth floating around that there are frivolous cases in the medical or dental malpractice field. In your experience, have you seen frivolous cases filed?
I have not ever done one. Can they be filed? I suppose it's possible, but the problem is that there's so much involved in terms of the initial screening by the lawyers. If they're reputable lawyers, I mean, they're going to do a pretty vigorous screening process. And then if they have a tribunal and the tribunal basically is set up, it consists of a doctor, a lawyer, and a judge to screen out anything that is frivolous. And so by the time the case gets by the tribunal, none of these cases are frivolous. It doesn't mean that the case is a winner. It just means that at that point, this case is absolutely, you know, I would call it frivolous proof, if you will. Frivolous is just not going to get by the tribunal.
No, it isn't, because a frivolous case is one that is brought without some basis in fact. And to get by the tribunal, an expert in that field has to offer an opinion under oath and, on paper that the dentist in question deviated from reasonably good practice and caused injury to a plaintiff.
Absolutely. And not only that, I mean, there are sanctions for attorneys who bring frivolous claims and sanctions for clients who want to pursue frivolous claims. So there are a lot of checks and balances within the system.
The other, in the big check, a tribunal triggered this thought in my mind, but the other reality is lawyers like yourself, lawyers are not going to waste their time on a case that has no merit, because ultimately no merit means a defense verdict. Ultimately, it's guaranteed, or dismissal at some stage. It's just not, and nobody's going to put the money into that kind of a case to pay for experts and get records and all that if it's frivolous. It's very, so that's an urban myth that I think people should discard from there.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sitting on a jury on a medical malpractice case, I mean, that case has already been vetted and screened, and you know, there's nothing frivolous about any case that's gone to trial. And there are sanctions for people who bring frivolous cases in any event. So
right.
It's there are tons of checks and balances. And no one's going to work for nothing. I mean, lawyers are not going to work for nothing. They're not going to take a case where they're not going to have a good outcome.
So we move into suits filed, and we're in the discovery phase. And I think maybe when we come back, we could talk briefly about why we do discovery, what the purpose of, you use the word depositions, really is. This is Frank Riccio and Bob Flynn talking about the law of dental malpractice. Be right back.